Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Hello, successful women. This is Trina Newby, your host and success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, March 17, 2014, and as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a success. Well, it's all about daring to dream in 2014 this March and taking the necessary steps to pursue your ideas, your passions, and all that you want in life. Now, while we're in the 20th century, women are still experiencing similar to the same things women experienced in the 18th and 19th centuries: lack of resources, know-how, and the skills to take their dreams and turn them into more than just that, but reality. However, ladies, the difference and the advantage that women have today is that we really are in the 20th century, and therefore we really do have a lot more resources, information, opportunities, and yes, even the legal rights than ever before to accomplish anything. So today the sky really is the limit. Now, why are we not reaching for that limit? Why are we not reaching for the sky? Somehow as women, we tend to hold on to the habits of old, and that's what we really need to eliminate in order to pursue our dreams and our goals. So today I'll be sharing with you 5 ways to stop procrastinating on your dreams. Also, we have a very special featured guest today. We have Ms. Frieda Smith. She is an accountant, and she also is a specialist in understanding Obamacare. That's right. She's going to be sharing with us some things that we need to know and understand about Obamacare. And get this. There's something you need to know that has to happen before March 31st is over. So Frieda is going to be sharing all of that with us, and we felt that it was just so important for business women to know exactly how Obamacare applies to you, because there's still some responsibilities there, and we need to be taking note on that. So this is a great time right now, if you haven't already, to really start sharing Successful Woman Radio with others. You can click over on a free line on your cell phone or a landline and have an associate, a friend, a family member, someone that you know needs motivation, needs encouragement, they need to stay in the know and how to make it happen for themselves. Have them to dial into 347-637-2589. Again, for those of you with pen in hand and you need the number, it's 347-637-2589. I'm so glad that all of you are here with us today. It looks like we have a full line of individuals that have dialed into the show. And so, again, I'm Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, and I just want to thank all of you for tuning in to Successful Woman Radio. So, again, we have a great lineup for you today. I'm going to be sharing with you 5 ways to stop procrastinating on your dreams. And also, if we have time, which I'm hoping that we will, habit number 3 in the 7 habits of highly successful people. We're going to cover that, upcoming events at Women About Biz, and, of course, we have a very special guest today, Ms. Frieda Smith, and I'm very excited that she is going to be sharing with us information about Obamacare and you, what you need to know about Obamacare and the actions that you need to be taking before March 31st. I'm very excited about that. Also, just want to let everyone know, we've had a lot of people questioning us about the Making It Happen coaching program, and, of course, that program got started earlier this month, and we have closed that program out. We are full, but for those of you who are still interested in making it happen, we are considering doing a second series, 12-week series pretty soon, like within the next 30 days or so. So if you're interested in that and you want to learn more about the Making It Happen group coaching program, just go to Women About Biz. That's Women About, A-B-O-U-T, Biz, B-I-Z as in zebra.com. And then, of course, click on Coaching Center. And once you're on that channel, all you need to do is just scroll down a little bit in the middle and you'll see all the information you need about the Making It Happen group coaching program. Currently, we are doing some wonderful things, and we are having business women that are having some breakthroughs, business women that are understanding goal setting like never before in this program. And so Making It Happen is really all about helping you to accomplish your priorities, goals that you've been trying to accomplish but haven't been able to. It's about helping you to do that within a 90-day period of time. And along the way, you're able to fine-tune and actually create your own recipe for accomplishing your goals at a much faster pace. And that's what it's all about. So, again, I'm very excited about the program. Even though I helped to write a large portion of it, I am learning so many things about my own business as I coach others. So I would encourage that if you're trying to reach that six-figure level this year, if you're trying to make things happen for yourself and you're tired of not really understanding how to move faster into your goals, then I would definitely recommend for you to take the Making It Happen group coaching program. And again, just go to womenaboutbiz.com, click on Coaching Center in the top right menu bar, and you will be able to locate that information, okay? It is 12:06 after the hour, and for those of you that have just tuned in, you are listening to No Other Than the Successful Woman Radio Show. I want to thank you for being a part of the show today. Well, the weather is all over the place, over the entire country. There's different types of weathercast, and of course I'm here in the metro Atlanta area, and we've had some hot sunny weather, and now we're into our rainy season as we welcome spring, and so it's quite different. But here's the thing, I remind business women of this all the time. As we move into the spring season, what are you going to be springing into? If you had not created a business strategy for 2014, if you didn't figure out what you were supposed to be doing for first quarter, well, first quarter is pretty much over, right? We've got a couple of weeks left in March, and then that will mark the end of first quarter. Now we're moving into second quarter, and what's so very, very important is that you really need to work harder at gaining more clarity and gaining more focus on what it is that you really want to accomplish. At the end of the day, if you are in business, you are in business to make money. And so oftentimes when you are a solo entrepreneur, which I believe most of our listeners are, sometimes you get caught up into that cloud of activity. You're just busy being busy. But at the end of the week, you're not quite sure what all of that busyness led into. So here's what I need you to do. If you did not create your business strategy and you still, this is coming towards the second quarter of 2014 and you still did not, what I want you to do is to stop yourself from feeling overwhelmed, because I think that's what it is. A lot of women are feeling overwhelmed. They're really stressing themselves out. They're thinking that they have to have some perfect plan, and that's not really what it's about. What I want you to do is simply sit down with a sheet of paper, your cup of your favorite beverage, coffee, hot chocolate, tea, whatever, and I want you to schedule and block about an hour and a half off on your calendar, because this is your time. I want you to sit at your desk or at a table with nothing else with the exception of you and that piece of paper or your notepad, okay? And what I want you to do is I want you to answer these three questions. Question number one, I want you to answer the question, what is it that I really want to experience with my business in the next 90 days? Okay, what do you want to experience in your business in the next 90 days? Here's the second, okay? The second is, what will it take for me to experience those things in the next 90 days? Okay? And here's the third thing. What habits do I have that could possibly be holding me back from experiencing these things in the next 90 days? So again, what do I want to experience? What will it take for me to experience those things? And what habits do I have that could be possibly holding me back from experiencing that? You see, what I have learned and what Alina Edmondson, who was on our show just a few weeks ago, shared with us through the Law of Attraction, is that a lot of the times there are habits, there are negative habits that are impacting us that are really hindering us from moving forward in our lives and in our businesses. And it's these habits that we really need to learn to let go of, okay? So I want you to schedule that time, because I've had a lot of women to say to me that they are feeling overwhelmed and that they know they need to be better organized for better efficiency. They know that they need to strategize. But whenever they think about it, it just overwhelms them. So rather than feeling like you have to have some formal plan, this simple exercise will help you to gain clarity, and it will help you to better identify what it is that you're trying to do. And as always, I recommend that if you are not used to what I call visioning, okay, which is executing your vision, if you're not used to doing that quite yet, then it's always best to work on a 90-day time basis, okay? Look at what it is that you would like to accomplish within those 90 days. So once you write all of that information down, what I want you to do next, okay, is I want you to schedule a power talk with me, okay? Again, I want you to schedule a power talk with me. And the reason why I want you to schedule a power talk with me is so that I can help you brainstorm and I can help you to organize those thoughts and tell you, you know, what's the next step? How do you start making those things happen within that 90-day period, okay? And so, again, to go ahead and do that. And, of course, to schedule your power talk, you simply go to womenaboutbiz.com, and then up in the top menu bar, click on Coaching Center, and in the right-hand column, you're going to click on Power Talk. And once you click on Power Talk, It will pull up a form for you that you will be able to sign up, and I'll be getting right back with you to schedule your power talk as soon as possible. So, again, I want to encourage you to do that. So, again, don't schedule your power talk yet until you schedule an hour and a half of time where it's just you and that piece of paper, and you sit down and you ask yourself, okay, you ask yourself, what is it that I am trying to accomplish, okay? That's what you need to be doing. Ask yourself, what am I trying to accomplish? And once you ask yourself that question, then you are better able, okay, you are better able to start working on how to get those things done. If you'll remember in the very beginning of the show, I talked about the fact that as women in the 20th century, although we lack many resources, it's not that the resources are not out there for us, it's that we lack the skills to search for them, and we lack the information that we need. And so, again, by requesting a power talk, I will be able to empower you, give you, okay, that information that you are going to need to execute some things in the next 90 days for yourself. And again, for all of those people that have been requesting that you be let into the Making It Happen group coaching, you won't be able to get into this session, that current session that we are doing, but we are looking at doing another 12-week session within this next 30 days, and so you'll be hearing more about that on the show and also via the Women About Biz e-newsletters. If you have not signed up for the Successful Woman Radio e-newsletter, we encourage you to go to our website for the radio show, Successful Woman Radio, spelled all the way out, and in the right-hand column, simply sign up for our e-newsletter so that you can stay in the know about what's coming on our shows, featured guests that are coming up. Very, very important. So I want you to do that. I have some exciting news to give you, and that is that you can now listen to Successful Woman Radio in the comfort of your iPad, your iPhone, your notepad, or your Android phone, okay? And I'm very, very excited to announce that. All you need to do is to download the app Stitcher, S-T STICHER. Again, you can download the app, Stitcher, STICHER. And once you download that app, look up Successful Woman Radio, and it'll pull up right for you in your app, and you can hear previous broadcasts of the shows, and every Monday, the show will automatically upload to Stitcher, usually within hours after the show, the same day. So therefore, if you miss a show, you don't have to worry about it. You can listen to it in the convenience of your iPhone, your Android phone, your notepad, your Amazon notepad. So you can listen to it in all types of venues, all through Stitcher. And Stitcher is a free app, and again, it's spelled STICHER, okay? And I want to encourage all of you to go and get the Stitcher app for yourself and check it out, because it's wonderful. I've been listening to my own broadcast from my iPhone, and it sounds wonderful. It's very, very clear. So I'm very, very excited about that. And I'll be making sure, as a matter of fact, I have my producer right now checking. Okay, and I want to give you guys the correct spelling. She just told me that I didn't spell it correctly. So here's the correct spelling for Stitcher. It's STICHER. Okay, again, it's STICHER, Stitcher.com. And that way you can listen to Successful Woman Radio. So very excited about being able to do that with our listeners, and that we've been accepted by Stitcher to broadcast our shows on their app. So I'm excited about it, and it helps us to really just to spread the word about Successful Woman Radio even further. I want to go ahead right now and just quickly talk and share the third habit in the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, okay? Now, I will say this, for those of you that have the book, and if you don't, as you know, I've recommended that you do get the book. Habit number 3 in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is put first things first. That is the habit, put first things first, and it really is all about prioritizing, okay? And what I want to do is I want to read to you just a little bit about put first things first, and then summarize what the author wants, the most important things that the author wants you to know. Now, this particular chapter is a little bit long because it's talking about principles of personal management and time management, and the author really goes in depth in sharing how you should be prioritizing things and what you should be doing, okay? And so the first thing he says is, will you take just a moment and write down a short answer to the following 2 questions? Your answers will be important, he says, to you as you begin to work on habit number 3, which is put first things first. And these 2 questions, and you may want to write these questions down and answer them for yourself a little bit later. The first question is, what one thing could you do that you aren't doing now, that if you did on a regular basis would make a tremendous positive difference in your personal life? So in other words, again, what one thing could you do that you're not doing now, that if you did on a regular basis would make a tremendous positive difference in your personal life? Question number 2, what one thing in your business or professional life would bring similar results? Okay? And he wants you to answer those 2 questions because he wants you to realize that priority is very, very important. He says, habit 3 is the personal fruit, the practical fulfillment of habits 1 and 2. Habit 1 says that you are the creator, you are in charge. It's based on the 4 unique human endowments of imagination, conscience, independent will, and particularly self-awareness. It empowers you to say that an unhealthy program I've been given from my childhood, from my social mirror, I don't like the ineffective script and I can change it. Habit 2 is the first or mental creation. It's based on imagination, the ability to envision, to see the potential, to create with our minds that we cannot at present see with our own eyes, and conscience, the ability to detect our own uniqueness and the personal, moral, and ethical guidelines within which we can most happily fulfill it. It's the deep contact with our basic paradigms and values and the vision of what we can become. Therefore, habit three, then, is the second creation, the physical creation. It's the fulfillment, the actualization, the natural emergence of habits one and two. It's the exercise of independent will toward becoming principle centered. It's the days in, day out, moment by moment, doing it. He says habits one and two are absolutely essential and a prerequisite to habit three. You can't become principle centered without first being aware and developing your own proactive nature. You can't become principle centered without first being aware of your paradigms and understanding how to shift them and align them with principles. You can't become principle centered without a vision of and a focus on the unique contribution that is yours to make. But with that foundation, you can become principle centered day in and day out, moment by moment, by living habit three, by practicing effective self-management. He goes on to say that management, remember, is clearly different from leadership. Leadership is primarily a high-powered, right-brain activity. It's more of an art. It's based on a philosophy. You have to ask the ultimate questions of life when you're dealing with personal leadership issues. But once you have dealt with those issues, once you have resolved them, you then have to manage yourself effectively to create a life congruent with your answers. The ability to manage well doesn't make much difference if you're not even in the right jungle. But if you are in the right jungle, it makes all the difference. In fact, the ability to manage well determines the quality and even the existence of your own creations. Management is the breaking down, the analysis, the sequencing, the specific application, the time-bound left-brain aspect of effective self-governing. My own maxim of personal effectiveness is this: manage from the left, lead from the right. And, of course, I'm reading from The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And for those of you who have never read that book or understand the philosophies of Dr. Stephen Covey, you'll begin to know if you read his book that he has a very large understanding of the human brain and how we function, how we work, why we think the way that we think. And so I wanted to start sharing the habits of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People because they have truly helped me in my life. And, of course, we read Habits 1 and Habits 2. Habit 1 was being proactive, which is doing things ahead of time, having the vision and then taking action on that vision. And then Habit 2 was begin with the end in mind. In other words, this is when you identify your vision and what it is that you want out of life, then go all the way to the end of that vision, because you know that will tell you what you want to experience, and then back up all the way to where you are, and everything in between is the highway to making that vision happen. And so in habit two, it was begin with the end in mind. Know what it is that you want to experience. And if you'll remember, when I shared with you the exercise of taking a sheet of paper and blocking an hour and a half of time off and just sitting there and asking yourself what it is that you want to experience in your business within the next 90 days, it's the same thing. It's beginning with the end in mind, okay? And now today I've read to you a little bit of information on habit three, putting first things first. So what I want to do quickly now is I want to go ahead and I want to just summarize habit number three a little bit for you with putting things first, because really in this whole chapter, he's really giving you some dynamic information on how to have a paradigm shift, which means to leave behind everything that wasn't working and shift into a whole new zone of embracing everything that is going to work for you, right? And he talked a lot about time management and self-management. Of course, I believe it was first Stephen Covey that I listened to in a seminar, and he shared the fact that there really is no such thing as time management, but there is such thing as self-management. In other words, every day we are allotted thousands and thousands of seconds in our life. Every day we get that all over again, but we can't go back and correct the time from yesterday. We can only move forward. So every day we get all these thousands of seconds, and they are going to pass us by, ladies. Whether we use them or not, they're going to pass us by. So in order to make good use of all of these seconds that we get in the space of time, we have to learn self-management. We have to truly understand how to start better managing ourselves and how to start practicing more efficient management of the time that is allotted to us, okay? So again, just some quick notes on the habit 3, putting first things first, okay? I want to explain what the power of independent will is, because he mentions that a lot in habit 3, putting first things first. He says the degree to which we have developed our independent will is measured by our personal integrity. And, of course, integrity is the value we place on ourselves, okay? And then he says effective management is then putting first things first. So the power of independent will is this. Independent will comes from your conscious mind, that's the here and the now. And it is putting into practice what it is that you desire and what it is that you want for yourself. Of course, you know, I've shared with you all the importance of understanding your subconscious mind, because sometimes we can have independent will, which resides in our conscious mind, but if there are things in the subconscious mind, experiences, habits that we have stored there, they could very well work against our independent will, thus, which is why sometimes we can't accomplish our dreams and our goals. So again, you know, I definitely want to encourage all of you who are listening to truly understand the importance of your subconscious mind and to truly understand that we are literally in control and we are the designers of our success. And there literally is nobody else to blame if we are not achieving success in life. We have to step up to the plate and be responsible for our own success. We have to be willing to be the sole architect of our desires, of our dreams, and of our goals. Moving on, Stephen Covey talks about four generations of time management in this third habit, which is putting first things first. He says, it's going to be important for you to understand that notes and checklists are very, very important. But while you write notes in a checklist, you then need to transfer these things into calendars or your appointment books. You really need to know the process of doing that. And then he says you really need to understand prioritization, clarifying values, and comparing the relative of worth of activities, because sometimes women especially can get so confused. You're so busy being busy that you really haven't prioritized. So the one thing that I want you to take away from this segment about putting first things first in the seven habits of highly effective people is that no matter how organized you think you are, if you're not getting the results that you want, then you're not as organized as you think, okay? Or you need to restructure into a different type of organization. What's going to help you start seeing results is priority, okay? A lot of the times as women, we don't necessarily prioritize the things that are most important to us, and we find ourselves working on things that are somebody else's dream or somebody else's goal. And this is true. We find ourselves saying yes all the time to other people's priorities, to other people's projects, but we're not saying yes to ourselves. So some of the habits that we really need to work hard on, first of all, is we need to work hard on the habit of saying no, okay? Because you can't say yes to every good thing out there. And as women, sometimes we get caught up and compelled to say yes to everything. We cannot. So you can't say yes to every good thing, and you're going to have to prioritize and learn how to start saying no. And the next thing is you're going to have to sacrifice some things, okay? Whatever your dream is, whatever your passion is, whatever is driving you, whatever is in your heart that you want to accomplish, you're going to have to sacrifice some things and put that thing and put that dream on the front burner. And it amazes me a lot of the times that there are a lot of women that express a deep-rooted desire to accomplish something, but when I go and I ask them, share with me all of the activities that you're doing now. just list them out for me or just start rolling them out verbally for me. I never hear anything that they're doing about that dream and that goal that they supposedly say is so very important to them. Listen, ladies, I want you to understand is that we have to start being women of our words. Okay? We need to start listening to ourselves better. And what that means is we have to start digging beneath the surface of life more. We have to stop living on the surface of life, which is waking up, you know, eating breakfast, getting ready for the day, and the day just carries us through, and we're doing that day after day. And then all of a sudden we look up, and guess what happens? We look up and we realize we have not accomplished our dreams and our goals. If your dreams and goals are very important to you, then you need to be putting that on the front burner. And that means, again, that you're going to have to say no to a lot of people and a lot of activities. It means that you are going to also have to sacrifice some things in your life that, even though they may be important, perhaps they're not as important to you as the dream or goal that you are trying to accomplish. So this is very, very important. And I try to get businesswomen to really, really understand this, because we need to realize that if we're running a business, then that business needs to become priority, and we need to eliminate a lot of activities that are interfering with us being the true leader of that business. So again, for those of you who haven't created that strategy, who know what you're going to be doing for second quarter of 2014, try out that exercise of sitting down with just you and that blank sheet of paper and just write out what is it that you want to experience in the next 90 days, what will it take for those experiences to happen, and what habits do you have that could be holding you back. Again, I want you guys to read habit number 3, putting first things first. In the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen Covey. Excellent book. It's been interpreted into thousands of different languages, millions of copies sold, and there's a reason for that. The reason is that he has a dynamic understanding of the human brain and how we function, how we work, and I think if we can get some understanding through this book, we can then better realize how to improve our lives. It's 12:32 after the hour, and you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. Coming up, we've got a very special guest, Ms. Freda Smith, who is going to be discussing Obamacare and you. This is very, very important. So you definitely don't want to hang up. You want to stay on the show for its entirety, because this is information that we really need to hear. But right now I want to quickly share with you a couple of things that are going on at Women About Biz. Again, I want to encourage all of you who are interested in the Making It Happen group coaching program. We probably are going to do a second set of 12-week sessions with the program, because we've had such a wonderful pouring of women who are interested in the program. And so, again, I want to make sure that we are servicing as many women as we can. So if you're interested and you want to learn what it's all about, then go ahead and go to womenaboutbiz.com and click on Coaching Center, and from there you will be able to see the program. We're doing good with our 100K campaign, and for those of you who are not familiar with what that is, it's our desire at Women About Biz to bring 100,000 women into our social network. Imagine women from around the world connecting, sharing resources, referring, and using their power to help one another. Well, that's what the 100K movement is all about. Women have the power to do such incredible things, and one thing that we have to start doing is helping each other in other positive ways. Across the world, there are women literally wanting to start or grow their business. They want resources. They're looking for opportunities. And so wouldn't it be wonderful if we had thousands and thousands of women worldwide in our social network? Well, you can help with that, okay? And so we want you to join the 100K movement and to spread the word. All you need to do is go to womenaboutbiz.com, click on Community, which is located in the top red menu bar, last tech link. Just hold your mouse over Community and click on 100K Movement in the drop-down, okay? You can read all about it, how you can participate, what it's all about. And we appreciate all of the women who are spreading the word about this private social network. You know, just the other day, I was in a conversation with a group of businesswomen at a luncheon, and we were all talking about the fact that Facebook is becoming ineffective in a sense, okay, and how, you know, women want to look for private social networks where we can really have that more close relationship, where we can look at things that are just for us. And that's what the Women About Biz Connect social network is all about. So, again, if you have not signed up or at least become a free bronze member so you can create your profile, we want to encourage you to do just that. 12:35 after the hour coming up, we'll have Ms. Freda Smith, who's going to be discussing Obamacare and you. I want to go ahead and read her bio at this time, and I am so excited that Freda is going to be with us today. Ms. Freda Smith has over 30 years of experience, 18 with the IRS. She is an enrolled agent, which allows her to represent taxpayers before the Internal Revenue Service. She started JADM Enterprises, a tax and accounting service, in September 1999, and as a small business tax service serving individual clients only. It has grown into a full-service professional tax, financial, and accounting service serving, again, individuals and businesses. Freda has a BS in education and a master's in public administration. She is on the speaker's cadre for IRS and gives several record-keeping seminars yearly. Additionally, she provides free seminars on record-keeping, health and life insurance, retirement planning, and more to organizations across and throughout Georgia. So at this time, I want to go ahead and welcome aboard Ms. Freda Smith. Freda, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Trina.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, first of all, you know, I've told you already that I have to have you back on the show to talk specifically just about small business taxes, right? So we're gonna do that soon. But today we're going to be talking about something very special, and that's Obamacare and you. In other words, there's a lot that we need to understand, but I know that you're going to bring it home for us in understanding specifically what we need to be doing this month, because there are some things. So without further ado, I want to ask you, what is Obamacare, and is everyone required to get it?
Well, Obamacare is really the Affordable Care Act, and it's used synonymous with Obamacare, but it's really the Affordable Care Act. Everyone is required to get it. And what is very important and the important things to know about it, that 90% of the people who are currently uninsured will qualify for discounted or free health insurance. Individuals and families may be eligible for lower costs on their monthly premiums and out-of-pocket costs, which is different from a subsidy. There are two types of subsidies that people will get. It has done away with limits on insurance coverage. Remember, there used to be annual limits. It may be like $1 million for your lifetime. Well, if you have a sick child and that child, you know, it has $1 million in the first 6 years of their life, that's it. They were no longer coverable under health care. This eliminates that. It eliminates the discrimination due to pre-existing conditions. But we have learned, and we have been doing this now since October 1, there are still people out there that think that if they don't keep their old insurance, if they don't keep the insurance that they have, that they won't be eligible because they have a pre-existing condition. And that has been eliminated. Young adults can remain on their parents' plans to age 26. And so this plan covers plans for people who are currently uninsured, and it makes it affordable for them to purchase the insurance.
And I want to go back up to something, because you said that 90% of everybody will qualify for some type of discounted or free health care. And I think a lot of people, how is that based? Is that based on your income level?
Yes, it is based on your income to a certain extent. Can I give an example of what I'm talking about? Okay. We just wrote a daycare center, and the daycare center was purchasing, even though they didn't have 50 employees, they had 7 employees that they were covering. Well, when we looked at that, that group plan, we looked at what each person was making, and we made a determination that there were going to be at least 2 of the 7 that was going to be eligible for free care, free health insurance. The others, 3 more of them, were going to be eligible for some kind of discount. And the other 2, while not being eligible for a discount, but what they were paying for that group insurance was going to be much higher for a plan that was not as good as a plan that was on the that they could get from Obamacare. And so when we finished writing it up and looking at it, it the proprietor went from paying $4,800 a month to $1,800 a month. Now, his employees were paying 60, 40. He would pay 60, they would pay 40. Well, now he's paying 100%, and that's even less than what he was paying, the 60% that he was paying for them, and the employees actually got a raise because now they don't even have to pay for any of it.
Exactly. So this it really does help out, and I know that there are a lot of people who have been just, you know, there's been so many confusing things. I mean, first you have a political battle going on between the Republicans and the Democrats, and, of course, they're utilizing Obamacare as their tool to continue this argument. But in actuality, Obamacare really was created to be more of equal opportunity, in other words, to help people to get the right type of insurance and to make sure that everybody is medically taken care of, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
If you look
at
it now, just because people don't have health insurance don't mean they, when they get sick or they're in an accident, they don't go somewhere. They go to the emergency rooms. The emergency rooms cost $1,900. If they were covered under insurance, instead of the government paying $1,900, they'll pay $200. Because that's, I mean, it's such a big difference. And so, it, you know, they show where you will be able to reap the benefits, and the people that are paying us taxpayers won't pay near as much for health care because people are covered.
Exactly, exactly. Now, does an individual have to work or have income in order to get Obamacare health care? I mean, in other words, does someone have to be employed to get this?
Well, in some states, yes. In other states, Medicaid was expanded, which was going to pick up those people that are under the amount that you have to be able to make in order to get Obamacare. For instance, if it's one person, just one you and there's nobody else, your income would have to be at least $11,500 in order to be eligible to get Obamacare. What would happen?
Now, do you know? Let me ask you this right quick. Do you know that if there was someone that was receiving, for example, disability or some other other type of income or retirement income, that still was included as being able to be counted as income, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
There are a number of things that is included in there. A lot of people try and include child support, but child support is not, but alimony is. If you have income coming in from Social Security, disability, Social Security, that's included. So there are VA benefits, that's included. So a lot of people do get it if their Social Security is high, or well, not Social Security so much. Well, Social Security between age 62 and 64. Now, order to get this, if you are between 19 and 64 with incomes of up to $15,000 a year for individuals and $31,322 a year for a family of four, you're eligible for the insurance under the Affordable Care Act. So you do have to have some income. And then what was actually in the law was that everyone was to expand Medicaid, and Medicaid was to pick up those people that fell below that amount. But all of the states, you know, this is a political thing. The Democrat, the states with Democratic governors, you know, they picked up, and there's about seven Republican states, though, that also expanded Medicaid, but the rest of them did not expand Medicaid. Therefore, you have a group of people that are going to be left out.
Okay, so with that said, it's really important, depending upon the state that you're in, it's really, really important that you go ahead and you get qualified and you figure out exactly where you are, because I think it's the way they have the system worked out is it's very customized, right? I mean,
it's
very
based
customized on that individual's it's based on that individual's needs, so therefore you're going to have to go through the process of filling out all of the information. Let me ask you this. What will happen if an individual will, chooses not to act on Obamacare? Because I don't think that a lot of businesswomen, especially businesswomen who are solo entrepreneurs or, let's say, home business owners, they don't feel that, you know, they don't have any employees, or they don't feel that they're making enough money yet in the business to really sign up for Obamacare. But what happens if they choose not to get the health care?
Okay, well, there's a couple of things, and it depends on the family size and how many people you're filing on your income tax. For instance, in 2014, the annual penalty is $95 per adult plus $47.50 per child up to $285 or 1% of income, and that's what people are not hearing. They're not hearing that or 1% of income. So if they're making $100,000, their fine is not $285 or $95. It's 1% of income, whichever is greater. Now, it gets higher as we go along. In 2015, the annual penalty is $325 per adult and $162.50 per child, up to $975 or 2% of income, whichever is greater. And then the last one I'll just give you is in 2016, the annual penalty is $695 per adult, $347 50 per child, or up to $2,085, or 2.5% of income, whichever is greater.
Wow, and I don't think a lot of people really realize that, listen, Obamacare is not a choice. It's really, you know, it's a law. The Affordable Health Care Act has been put into law, and it is going to be reinforced. And so, therefore, everybody is supposed to sign up for this health care. You're supposed to have health care. That's the biggest thing. Now, is there a deadline this year on when everybody is supposed to sign up?
You're supposed to sign up by March 31st, 2014. And so far, there has not been an extension. And to be covered by, and then if you from this date on, if you signed up before the 15th, it starts April 1. Now, from now till the end of the month, March 31st, you'll begin getting services as of May 1st.
Okay, got you.
But March 31st right now is the deadline.
So for those of you who are listening and you haven't even began to sign up or to declare that you indeed have signed up for health care, this is something that is mandatory, okay? Now, let me ask you this, Frieda. Those people who already have health care insurance, are they still required to sign up? How is that being mandated?
They are not. And unfortunately, some of the things that are happening, you know, like I said, we've been doing this now since October 1. We've had people come in that want to not be on their employers because they have to pay. And they would rather be on Obamacare, but there are some rules for that too. And one of the rules is if the affordable employer-sponsored coverage, the employee-only premium, employee-only, not his wife, because a lot of people come in and say, I pay $350 a month for my whole family. I can't afford that. And so I don't want to be on my employer's because I can't afford $350 a month. But the way it's set up is the employee-only premium is the part they can use. So if $300 is for his family and $50 is for him, that's the only amount that we can use. And if that premium is more than 9.5% of his income, then they can sign up for Obamacare. Or
okay,
if it does
gotcha.
Not provide the minimum value of coverage, which is 60% of total allowed costs, then they can have a plan, but there's not be a qualified plan. Say if the employer has a non-qualified plan. Well, if it's not a qualified plan, then that person can also sign up for Obamacare.
Okay,
and we have an employee tool. We have an employer tool, and we send this tool to the employers. They fill that tool out, and then we can determine whether or not they're eligible to apply under Obamacare. They can't just say, well, I'm not going to apply under my employers. You can't say it like that. You can't. It's not really a choice. It has to be that over that 9.5% or non-qualified plan.
Got you. So what we want to do, because, of course, you know, again, a lot of people are so overwhelmed with Obamacare and not really understanding, and what you have helped do today is to really let us know that Obamacare really is the Affordable Care Act and that everyone is required to have some type of health care insurance, and that's really what this is all about. And March 31st is the deadline for those of you that are listening.
Yes.
And, of course, if you currently are employed and have your own insurance, this deadline does not apply to you. But if you are not insured, if you have no health care at this time, this deadline applies to you. And, ladies, this is something that really you're going to have to be proactive about. You're going to have to take immediate and swift action on and make sure, okay, that you, especially if you're not in the state of Georgia, you definitely need to be finding a healthcare agent and asking those questions. Now, Frieda, is there a website that individuals can go to apply for the Obamacare?
Yes, you can go to www.healthcare.gov.
www.healthcare.gov. And for those of you who are in the state of Georgia in which Frieda is in, Frieda, go ahead and give them your phone number because I'm sure a lot of people are going to have questions for you and will need assistance in getting signed up.
Yes, my number is 770-994-9454.
Okay, and if you could repeat that one more time for us.
770-994-9454.
Wonderful. And, you know, again, please definitely connect with Frieda regarding your health care, which is so very, very important. Remember that March 31st is indeed the deadline. And so far, Frieda says there has not been any extensions on that. Also, keep in mind that there's a penalty attached to you not claiming health care before or at the 31st deadline, okay? And that's something that you need to understand. $95 per adult, $47.50 per child, or up to $285, or 1% of your income, whichever is greater. And so far, again, I repeat, so far there has not been an extension on the Obamacare deadline for the Affordable Care Act. So this means that everyone is supposed to have some form of health care, and I want to make sure that we give you that information and that you are informed and know that you should not allow March 31st to come up on you and you have not applied for some type of health care. Very, very important. I want to talk right quick, Ms. Eufrida, about the small business owner, because there are some people who are running home-based businesses part-time. They don't have health care insurance. They are solo entrepreneurs. They are the single people. Maybe some of them do have a child or do have children that they are responsible for. But in their minds, they're thinking, I'm not making enough money. And therefore, I'm self-employed. So therefore, this does not pertain to me. But this does, correct?
Oh, yes, it does. And especially for those that have children. And actually, if you don't have children, but if you have children, most of your small entrepreneurs are filing taxes because there you have the earned income credit and you have the child tax credit. So if you see a small entrepreneur, you can rest assured with children, they are filing taxes. And that is where that fine is going to come up at.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And so, just because we're entrepreneurs and small business owners, it does not mean that we are excused from the Affordable Care Act. It means that we are included as well. And we won't know what we will have to pay until we actually apply. So, again, we need to be making sure that we do that. And if you could, Frieda, give out that website again that people can go to as well.
Yes, www.healthcare.gov.
Okay. So everyone,
but I suggest that
www.healthcare.gov. Go ahead.
Yeah. I suggest, though, that you get in touch with a healthcare agent because they'll be able to walk you through that, and it is just so much better with someone walking you through. And just one other thing real fast is that a lot of small businesses with less than 50 people, because you know if you have less than 50 people, you do not have to have group life insurance. They think that exempts them from this. It exempts you, the employer, from having group, but it does not exempt your employees that are under you from going out and seeking individual insurance. And a lot of people actually thought that. Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow. So if you have 50 or less employees and you're thinking that you don't have to do anything, listen, you owe it to all of your employees to make sure that they understand that this March 31st deadline is coming and that they need health care. And what you need to do is get in touch with a health care agent, such as Frieda, to go ahead and have that individual come out and set up at your facility and work with your employees so that they can get signed up, which is so very, very important. And, again, if you're in the state of Georgia, and I appreciate you, Frieda, for bringing this to our attention and making sure that everyone understands that March 31st deadline is real. Again, there has been no extensions on this deadline. Please give Frieda a call if you're in the state of Georgia at 770-994-9454. Again, 770-994-9454. Give her a call and set up an appointment to talk with her about going ahead and declaring your health care for yourself, for your family, and also if you have any employees, this really is important for you to be a responsible employer. You may not be required to have group health care insurance for your employees if you're a small or micro business, but you should take on some responsibility to make sure that they are informed to know about this deadline and to know that it includes them. Frieda, I'm so excited that you were able to come on the show today and to just let everybody know about the Affordable Care Act and how it applies to them. And I know that there are so many other questions that people will have. And I'm hoping those of you who are in the state of Georgia will go ahead and give Frieda a call, 770-994-9454. But if you are not in the state of Georgia, I want to encourage you to find yourself a health care agent and go ahead and get signed up, which is very, very important. So, Frieda, thank you so much for being on the show today.
And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, wonderful. It is almost that time, ladies, for us to end the show, but don't hang up just yet because I want to, again, quickly give you five ways to stop procrastinating on your dream, okay? The first way is, number one, you've got to make sure that whatever you're desiring, that is your dream, that it's your goals, because sometimes you can be wanting what somebody else has just because they have it. And that's, of course, as you know, it never works out. So make sure that it's your dream, because sometimes when you don't act on something, when you don't take swift action, it's because it's really not there in your heart or it's really not yours to have. So make sure it's your dream. Here's number two. You need to make sure that you identify the habits that are going to help you achieve the dream and the habits that are going to work against it. You need to know from both sides what you're dealing with as far as your own habits and your own personality and the characteristics, and then you need to make a decision that you are going to embrace habits, okay, that help you to accomplish your dreams and goals, okay? Here's the first thing that you need to do. You really need to write down, okay, because this will help you to transition your thoughts. You need to write down your dreams and your goals on a sheet of paper. You need to write them down. In other words, you need to transfer them from your head to the paper so that it becomes real, okay? When it becomes real, we're often more inclined to start taking action, okay, which leads to number four. Once you write down your dreams and your goals, then you really need to identify to-do items that are going to support those dreams and goals. Because in order for your dreams and goals to start manifesting, to start taking place, to-do items have to help, okay? And last but not least, which is, I think, one of the most important, is to thy own self be true. Okay, again, you know what it is that you want. You're going to have to start being truthful to yourself that you want this, that you want these dreams and goals, and you are going to have to start saying no to a lot of activities that are getting in the way of you accomplishing your dreams and your goals. As my grandmother used to say, you can't say yes to every good thing, and boy, oh boy, I remember that. I remember it really clearly now because I've lived life long enough to know that you can't say yes to every good thing, and there's going to be many wonderful opportunities, but you, only you can prioritize what's important to you. So, ladies, to thine own self be true. What is it that you want to do? So very, very important. Last but not least on the show, I do want to salute a woman who has contributed to our society, and this is National Women's History Month, and at this time I want to quickly salute Rose Morgan, born in 1912 and she passed in 2008. Rose was the owner of Rose Mehta House of Beauty, which was started in 1942. She grossed approximately $300,000 in 1955 and grew her company to $3 million in assets. As an owner of the largest and most visible African-American beauty salon in the U.S. in the 1950s and 60s, Rose Morgan became a symbol of achievement in the civil rights era. The 1955 opening of her second and grandest salon, Rose Mehta House of Beauty in Harlem, was heralded in the black and mainstream press alike. The event drew a crowd of more than 10,000 people, including New York City elites, such as Susan Wagner, the wife of Mayor Robert Wagner, and the boxing champion Joe Louis. And this is wonderful because, you know, a lot of us think, you know, Madam C.J. Walker was like one of the few pioneering entrepreneurs in the healthcare industry, but a lot of people don't know about Rose Morgan. Morgan worked to dispel white standards of beauty and encourage African-American women to celebrate their features. Toward that end, in the 1960s, she wrote a column for the New Pittsburgh Courier called The Beautiful Truth, Rose Morgan's Beauty Tips. During her years in business, she trained 3,000 employees, launched her own products, okay, and in 1965 was one of the founders of the African-American-owned Freedom National Bank in New York. Morgan also fought for better wages and conditions for beauticians and was the first black beauty shop owner to become a member of the New York State Wage Board. She retired in the 1970s, and sales figures for her business vary, with some estimating it as high as $3 million in its heyday. And so there you have it, Women About Biz salutes Rose Morgan, entrepreneur, businesswoman in the state of New York, for her contribution to the beauty industry. Well, ladies, that's all we have for today. I want to thank you so much for listening to Successful Woman Radio. And remember, for all of those tech-savvy people who listen to the show, you can go to Stitcher, STITCHER.com. You can download the app. And once you have it downloaded, look up Successful Woman Radio, and it'll stream everything, all of our broadcasts, right to your smartphone or your smart device. This is Trina Newby saying have an abundant, productive, and joyful week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.